Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast, another episode. I'm your host, Mike Pigott, editor at the Society. And for today's podcast, I'm pleased to welcome Shay Abakin. Shay has been at Centrepoint, the UK charity for homeless young people, for 17 years, and he became chief executive in 2009. He's also a member of the Social Security Advisory Committee, a group that advises the government on social security and related matters. Welcome, Shay.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So we're sort of doing this, I guess, kind of early December. This podcast. I guess the UK is moving from the lockdown into various tiers of whatever these tiers are. I think it's quite an interesting time to have a discussion, especially based on kind of the work that you're doing. And I kind of want to start off by everything we do at the Society is about empowering our members to be braver leaders. I kind of feel that in your line of work, you have to be fairly brave each day. I was wondering, as an intro, you could sort of talk us through a kind of typical day for you, what sort of challenges you face as a leader in your role.
Right. So if you think about a typical day for me, it would start with usually me driving my daughter off to school. And that takes about 20, 25 minutes to do. And I value that time with her because it is guarantee of just us together without any interaction. So I love that. But once I've done that, I tend to box what I do into, if you like, five groups. There's some things that are about, you know, building relationships. And there's some things that are about influencing people and systems and how you get things going that way. There's some things that are about learning and just discovering things. There's a bit that's about strategy and steering the group, steering the team. And then finally, building my team. So I would say a lot of my time is spent in meetings. And that's become a lot more tedious in this last few months because those meetings are carrying on, but they're just carrying on now, no longer face-to-face, more on platforms like this one. And usually I would start with a huddle with my own senior executive team, just catching up on where we've got to with the various things that we're trying to do. That's become much more important in these last few months as we track what's happening for young people who are living in our hostels, keeping them safe and watching what's going on. And the range of meetings that I would attend will include meeting young people, connecting with our teams in different locations, connecting and sharing with other CEOs and leaders, both within and outside our sector, meeting with civil servants and politicians, connecting with donors and supporters, that sort of thing. Mentoring others, young people particularly, but also some other professionals. Every now and then I might do some media engagements and I chat with the chair who wants to know how we're doing. So I wants to know that we're not going off on a tangent, just doing our own thing. And of course, looking at performance collectively and individually with my senior executive team. What I find is that in the maelstrom of these meetings, it's easy to end up without any time to actually think and reflect. So I often deliberately block time out just to reflect on key issues, either at the end of the week or at the beginning of the week. Reflect on key issues, key decisions, performance, strategy, those kind of things. And then towards the end of every day, I have a time with my PA, just making sure that I'm prepared for the next day and the things that I need to do the next day. I mean, one of the biggest challenges I would say for me is that people often say I should switch off.
Yeah.
And it's logical, it's sensible, but it's easy to say. it's much more difficult to do, you know, because there are always things that are happening, which I see that give me reason to think about Centrepoint, to think about young people, to think about homelessness. And so it's, I have to say, it's with me wherever I go. And for me, it's not actually about switching off. Mm. It's about managing that, managing all of that stuff. I think I'd be more worried if I switched off and I didn't hear anything and I didn't know anything. And so I think in that context, for me, the biggest challenging question is, can we do more? What is it? Can we do better?
Mm.
Could we reach more young people?
Is this what you think about when you're, say, like in your time of reflection, would you say? I mean, is there a, do you have any specific thing you do when you look to reflect? Do you go for walks or, you know, anything like that?
Yes. So interesting. I didn't do this before, but in lockdown, I have got really acquainted with my neighborhood, with all those walks. And I find that when I'm walking like that, it's a really good time to think about those kind of things. But it's not just then. I mean, I could sit down and just be watching an advert. And in that advert, I'm seeing things that make me think, oh, we might do that. Or could we do this? Would it be better if we did that? And sometimes I have to restrain myself from getting on immediately to someone to say, how about this? So I've got a little notebook in which I write those things down so I can pick them up, you know, at more auspicious times with other people. The thing is, in this job, when you really get into it, you want young people to do well. So always you're looking for how can we do better to help them see their own potential and bring it to life for them. How can we do better to help them end homelessness for good? And you enjoy the great moments when they do that.
Yeah, I mean, for example, like, you know, I was reading that your time in charge, you've overseen this period of sustained growth, and you guys are now providing services to more than 15,000 people across London, Manchester, and the Northeast. I was thinking this sounds a good thing, but then at the same time, is it a bad thing? Homelessness continues to rise year on year. Are you fighting against the tide in a way?
Yes. So when Centrepoint was founded 50 years ago, youth homelessness was thought to be unacceptable at that time. So I'd say when Centrepoint was founded 50 years ago, the people who founded it, our founding fathers, thought homelessness was unacceptable at that time. And many in society thought so. This was the days of Cathy Come Home. So it is bad that youth homelessness is still a problem today. In fact, it's very bad. And what's worse is that problem is rising. It was rising before the pandemic, but the coronavirus has exacerbated that problem. It's made it worse. You know, and I know that because since the lockdown, cries to our national helpline for help has gone up by 50%. I know that because in a survey 2 months ago, local authorities up and down the country were telling us that expecting homelessness to get worse. So the situation is quite bad. But it is a good thing that organizations like Centrepoint are here to pick up the pieces, because without us, there will be very visible homelessness crisis. For us all. So it's a good thing that Centrepoint and our partners are in a position to, if you like, harness some of the communal spirit of generosity that there is towards helping young people who find themselves in this kind of situation. You know, we know that, you know, one of the biggest challenges that young people face in large cities is homelessness, finding a place to live. And so we have a challenge to actually respond to that well with young people. So to your question, it is bad that youth homelessness is rising. It hasn't gone away. But it is good that we're here to help.
You think, I mean, you know, I guess governments have different policies and systems that they're always trying to put in place. And as we said at the start of this pod, you're a member of the Social Security Advisory Committee. Does it feel like brands and businesses need to do a lot more to fill the void? I mean, you've got partners that you work with, which we'll get to in a bit. But I mean, is that where it should go? Do you think is that where you'll see the most impact?
Well, I mean, I think there is a lot that brands and business leaders can do. But before I get to that, let me talk a little bit about government, because you alluded to it.
Yes.
About Social Security. So successive governments, not just this one, I think, have not done well for young people. If you think about the last, say, over 10 years, say, central government have taken £1 billion, £1 billion, out of its supporting people funding. That's a reduction of more than half of the funding. How can services be maintained effectively when financial support is withdrawn on that sort of scale? So government, I think, must step up to the plate again, especially now when COVID has so decimated the prospects of young people. And I have to say, to their credit, this government now is in the process of, you know, introducing something they describe as the opportunity guarantee, which I think, if it is funded properly and delivered well, big ifs, would make a difference. So we have to hold government's feet to the fire, I think, on that. But it is not a problem for government alone. I think brands and business leaders are crucial if we want to end youth homelessness. And I believe youth homelessness can be ended. I think it can all but be ended in a few years, in fact. And I can say more about that if you want me to. But I think that there are things that businesses and brands can do. Three simple things. First, they can help to remove stigma. So many people, when they think about a homeless person, the vision they have in their minds is of someone to be avoided, a drunk, maybe a drug user, a feckless person. And that's wrong. It's really wrong. I see young people in my services who, just like any other young people, and, you know, with a little bit of help, they turn their lives around. So brands and business leaders can help by challenging that vision very vigorously whenever they hear it or they see it. And they can help by putting their resources where their mouth is. And that takes me to the second thing that they can do. They can give young people a chance in work and support them to be successful. Look, the only way a young person can beat homelessness permanently in a sustained way is for them to earn an income. If they can get a job and earn an income, they don't need to be homeless again. But someone needs to give them a chance to do that. Yeah. And particularly now, that is so important when we hear about issues with youth unemployment. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing I think they can do is work with organizations like ourselves, like Centrepoint, in genuine partnership, whether that's in sponsoring activities or donating money or raising awareness or donating expertise. And some brands are already doing that well.
You mentioned stigma. I mean, that actually put me straight in mind of marketers, because that's essentially storytelling. That's telling a different story about a homeless person and saying, you know, like you say, they're not necessarily, you know, drug users or whatever, they're just people. And, you know, that's humanizing people. And that's exactly what marketers are supposed to do, is tell stories about people and inspire them and change the narrative and things like that. I mean, you've worked in different capacities. You work with ASOS, Selfridges, the Co-op Bank. Are there certain learnings that you took from each of those, you know, different ways of working with brands?
Yes, but it takes a mindset, I think, for brands to get involved with this sort of issue, where sometimes the general public has a particular view in their minds. The biggest lesson, I think, is about the power of example to move people. You know, if when the leader in an organization joins in an endeavor, other people follow. You know, and you know, we can see the way that is working with each of those brands that you talked about, that we've worked with, whether it is Selfridges, for instance, who next week are going to be sponsoring Centrepoint Awards.
Okay.
What's in it for Selfridges? Nothing. Because there's not going to be any public exposure. It's going to be something that's happening on one of these electronic platforms like this. And yet, Selfridges are committing themselves to doing this. Why? Because in recognizing young people who have done well and turned their lives around, they promote the examples for other young people to follow. And these kind of peer examples cannot be underestimated at all. So that's a great example. If you talk about, say, the Co-op, for example, you've got the CEO who's committing himself to, actually, we're going to join with this organization in a customer-facing campaign that says, do you know what, if we all do a little bit, we can help to young people to not just have this stigma, but actually turn their lives around. So we are going to donate £5 every time somebody takes out a mortgage from us or do a product switch. And actually, we're interested in what that £5 does. And what that £5 does, actually, what it has done is helped us to establish the Centrepoint helpline. And in the last 2 years, that helpline has stopped literally 15,000 young people from immediate crisis of homelessness. That's actually the power that brands can have and the difference that they can make. But the big lesson here is it's an uphill struggle without leadership.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does feel like, obviously, yeah, if you have a leader at the top, you know, really that understands the you know, the need for their brand, their organization to kind of do better in the world, in society. I mean, a lot of the sort of most popular content on our website this year, you know, globally has been, you know, stuff to do with activism and purpose and trying to do better in the world. I mean, I had a note to ask you what your thoughts were on the recent sort of Burberry teaming up with Marcus Rashford, obviously on a number of youth projects, which I think they've had in the pipeline for a couple of years. So obviously for the public, Marcus has become, you know, very much aligned with activism this year. But actually, I think Burberry have been talking to him for a while, and that kind of speaks to maybe a, you know, a longer term, a medium to long term strategy to really sort of, you know, invest more in young people. You know,
I can't praise Burberry and Marcus Rashford enough for that. I think they're doing absolutely the right thing, and I applaud them for doing it. And do you know what tends to happen is that if you get a brand like Burberry doing this, there's a halo effect that comes from that. And maybe we might move other brands into doing the same thing. Marcus Rashford got a lot of attention for his campaign over the summer to, you know, feed children. But he's been doing this sort of thing under the radar for quite some time. I mean, last year he worked with us to, you know, fill shoebox of essential items for young people at Christmas who found themselves homeless. So, you know, the more brands and people like him that we can get to engage in this kind of cause, the more we move the dial to actually bring and break down that stigma that I was talking about earlier on. And the more we move other brands and other business leaders to actually take action, the sort that I've been talking about, that would really, really help. We have been lucky at Centrepoint, to be honest. We've been lucky with a range of ambassadors who have been going out of their way to use their platforms to, you know, share this sort of thing.
I wanted to sort of briefly kind of sort of round up this conversation by a little bit of a talk of kind of adaptability as a leader in an organization, particularly in terms of going digital. Because obviously I imagine sometimes, you know, an organization like Centrepoint, so much of what you do is going to be face to face. And, you know, I've been reading some stuff the last few days about charities having to you know, move to more digital platforms, and, you know, like a lot of companies, I guess. But, you know, they've been charities, the charity sector in particular, has been hit really, really hard by COVID. I think there was an article last year, even before the pandemic, that said homelessness had risen 23% that year. You know, what sort of challenges have you had kind of moving to digital? Have you sort of discovered things along the way that have helped?
Biggest challenges were that young people just didn't have the platforms. We a lot of us take these things for granted, but actually a lot of young people didn't have. They didn't either. They didn't have the equipment, or if they had the equipment, the smartphone or whatever it is, they didn't have the data. They didn't have money to actually buy the data that they needed. So one of our challenges, and we, like others, had to move that way to deliver services to them. Not necessarily the immediate face-to-face service of keeping young people safe. We had to keep our hostels open. So our staff were pretty much like other key workers, who actually were going into work to keep those hostels open, to look after the young people who live in those hostels. But Centrepoint is not just about giving young people a roof over their heads. Our work, really, that's just the starting point. Our work really is about helping young people to gain the skills they need so that they can find work, and to help them to get healthy and stay healthy. And much of that work, that bit, we couldn't do face to face. So we had to deliver that in digital formats. The first challenge was, how can we get the equipment to all the young people who need it? And having got the equipment to them, how can we get the data to them? And we were lucky that between Vodafone and BT, we got data donated.
Stuff.
Free for a period of time. Yes, I want them to do more, by the way. That first bit is coming to an end. They need to come up.
I'm pretty sure we have members at both those places. So shout out to Vodafone and BT, guys, if you're listening.
Come up with more. So we can keep doing this, because, you know, we've got to keep going this way. And we had donations of equipment, went out to, you know, those young people. That enabled us to move a lot of that skills work, functional skills training, maths, literacy, numeracy, IT, all that stuff, move all of that stuff online for us. So that's one thing. The second thing is, we haven't been able to raise money because our events are mass participation events, and we couldn't do those mass participation events. Last month, we would have had 1,500 people sleeping rough, raising money for one night. And that would have raised £1.5 million. We can't have that this year. But we've been able to come up with something we call Stay Up. We invited people to stay up in their own homes, to take part in some activity, to share that activity online, and created a community that way and tried to raise money. So it's thinking about things like that that we have done this year. I have to say, homelessness rose by 23% last year. That's that's more. This year is worse. The increase is worse. I spoke earlier on about the calls to our helpline. It's been gone up more than half this year. So the situation is getting worse.
So I guess to sort of round off the conversation, because we're sort of up to our time. But if you had one message to kind of you know marketing leaders out there for next year when they're thinking about next year, particularly with the work that you do, what would you like to sort of say to them and appeal to them for various things?
One, remember that young people have been hit really hard by this pandemic. So anything at all that you can do to help get them back into the world of work would be really, really important. And, you know, we stand ready to work with anyone, share ideas, you know, about how that could happen. You know, you would be aware that youth unemployment is currently trending at 3 times general unemployment. I'm worried about the impact that will have on young people. So that's one thing that I would have them have in mind. The second thing I'd invite them to have in mind is that even when young people take their first steps into work, when they're living in urban areas like London and Birmingham and Manchester and so on and so forth, the biggest challenge is finding an affordable place that they can live in. Next year, we at Centrepoint are piloting, we're developing a new model of accommodation in which a young person will not be required to pay any more than a third of whatever they earn to live in it. It's radical, it's different. And whatever marketing people can do to support us to promote this model would be absolutely fantastic, because it is one way to break the back of homelessness. Once and for all, once young people take their first steps into work. This a great project for brands and leaders to get involved with.
Okay, I mean, that sounds fantastic. We'll put some details on the on the notes to this podcast, contact details and other things as well. So yes, and obviously we'll put it out to our networks. Lots of marketing directors and CMOs, if you're listening, get in touch with Shay and his team. So I guess on that point, it's a great point on which to end. I just want to say a thank you for your time, Shay, and it's been a great discussion, and good luck for everything for next year, and you do amazing work. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for having me.